It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning going to keep one downfield. Pass the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 70 yards. Salsa time at Big D. Victor Cruz with another. Play fake. Freeman back to throw. Under pressure. Heaves it downfield. Intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15. Cuts right back to the 20. Looking for a block up to the 30. And drag down there. Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline. And it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall. Golzine takes the snap. Pass intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul. And he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP. The 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, Lance Medham.
And welcome to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. So glad you could join us at our new time, noon Eastern. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. You can't get to the phones. You can also make your voice and your presence felt via social media. You can follow and interact with me on Twitter at Lance Medow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Use hashtag Giants Chat so that all other Giants fans can see your questions or comments as we take you till 1 p.m. Eastern for the next 60 minutes. Getting you set for Monday Night Football. We have finally arrived, a meaningful regular season game for the New York Giants as they will visit the Detroit Lions tonight, 7:10 kickoff. We'll have our pregame coverage on WFAN radio get underway at 5:40 p.m. Eastern. So glad that you could join us this afternoon. We'll get into the ins and outs of the game. We'll break down the Lions and what matchups the Giants can look forward to, at least trying to take advantage. And you start with the Lions, and this is a team last year that went 7-9 in the regular season. The Lions actually got off to a very good start. They were 6-3, and it appeared as if they were going to be in the driver's seat to win that NFC North. If you recall, Jay Cutler gets hurt last year. Aaron Rodgers gets hurt last year. The Lions all of a sudden seem to be the favorite. Then Rodgers comes back. Jay Cutler comes back. And the Lions just start to mentally and physically break down during the second half of the season. And they wind up losing 6 of their last 7, including an overtime loss to the Giants in Detroit at Ford Field, 23-20. Will Hill getting that interception that he returns for a touchdown to tie the game, and the Giants ultimately win in overtime with Josh Brown's lengthy field goal. And as a result, the Lions once again missed the playoffs for the second straight year. So this is a new team similar to the Giants. And what I mean by that, you have some new faces on the coaching staff. Jim Schwartz is no longer the head coach. It's now Jim Caldwell, who's an offensive-minded coach compared to Schwartz, who is a defensive-minded guy. He's now actually the Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator. And Buffalo had a nice victory over the Chicago Bears on the road yesterday. Fred Jackson with an impressive block on Chris Conte to set up their game-winning field goal in overtime. But I digress, getting it back to the Giants situation. So they bring in Jim Caldwell, and you have a new offensive coordinator. You have a new defensive coordinator. The offensive coordinator is Lombardi, who is the quarterback's coach with the New Orleans Saints over the last 5 years. He's been with the Saints for the last 7, and it's similar to the Lions because in New Orleans, they like to spread the wealth, and they did the same thing against Atlanta yesterday. They like to have multiple wide receivers, multiple running backs, and the Lions are similar. They have multiple guys that they can line up on the line of scrimmage, whether it be receivers, tight ends, or running backs. You're talking about a team that has 3 tight ends, and they're all big, huge targets because they're all at least 6'4", whether it be Joseph Fourier, who had 7 touchdowns last season in his rookie campaign, Brandon Pettigrew, who they re-signed and gave a nice contract to. He's also a target in the red zone, but he can also move the chains. And now Eric Ebron, their first-round pick, a versatile tight end out of North Carolina, who's looked good in the preseason. Then you add Reggie Bush and Joyke Bell in the backfield. And what's unique about those two, they were second and third respectively on the team in receptions behind Calvin Johnson last season. So they are just as dangerous in the receiving game as they are in terms of the ground attack. And then on top of that, you have Calvin Johnson, as I mentioned. But unlike previous years, I think the Lions have much more depth at the receiver spot than they've had over the last few years. You know, usually it was Calvin Johnson, and then you had, you know, maybe that complimentary wide receiver and a couple of unknown commodities. Nate Burleson was there for a few years. They had Ryan Broyles, but he was hurt. Broyles is back. He's now healthy. They also brought in Golden Tate from the Seattle Seahawks. And then you look at some of the other weapons. Kevin Ogletree, who's had experience with the Dallas Cowboys. We're talking about other players that are going to make plays if you pay too much attention to Calvin Johnson. That's what makes this Lions team so dangerous. And it should not be a surprise to anybody that they were sixth overall on offense, third in passing. The same personnel group, if not better, returns to the table this year. Plus, they had a new wrinkle with a new offense. I don't think the offense is going to change too dramatically because, as I mentioned, if Lombardi is used to utilizing multiple weapons with his days with the Saints, why would he come in and change things that drastically with the Lions? Are they going to have similar groupings, and they're clearly going to involve their running backs in the passing game. I don't think that they're going to throw anything new into this situation that will play out tonight. Will there be a few new play calls? Will they get creative with Golden Tate? Absolutely, but I don't think the personnel groupings, I guess, is what I'm getting at, is going to change so drastically. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. We're going to get to your phone calls. We'll also take a glance and chat about the Lions defense, and perhaps there are some opportunities for the Giants to attack this Lions defense. Clearly, the Giants defense is going to be tested by the Lions offense. That has been well documented, even if you go back to last year's performance. But the defense, there's a new defensive coordinator in Terrell Austin, who was the Ravens secondary coach, and their front four is clearly their strength. The back end has not drastically improved. James Ehedebo, who came over from the Ravens, one of their top safeties, he's unlikely to play tonight. He's doubtful because of neck and shoulder injuries. And they're also going to be without a backup safety in Don Carey. So you're really digging deep into the depth chart at that safety position. On paper, if there was any area to attack, if you're the Giants, it would be the back end of the defense. However, with that being said, let's at least put things in perspective. There are still a lot of question marks regarding the Giants' passing game and who is going to step up and how fluid it's going to look, considering it has not seen periods of continuity during the course of the preseason. So there are just as many question marks with the Giants passing game as there are with the back end of the Lions defense. But we'll get into that a little bit later on. We'll examine where the strengths are on the Lions defense and what type of matchups the Giants can look forward to potentially taking advantage of. Meanwhile, I want to get to your phone calls. As I mentioned, we'll get to your tweets as well. Hashtag Giants chat at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Let's open up the phone lines, and we start with our buddy Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeff, good morning. What's happening?
How you doing today, pal?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How about yourself?
Okay. Well, I'm getting ready for the game tonight. I'm going to give you my own personal over and under is 9, and I think I'm going to, based upon what I've seen in the preseason, I'll have to go with the under. And I'm just waiting to see how our flat tire offense is going to do tonight. So.
Well, there are question marks about the offense. I think that they should be able to run the ball and pick up where they left off in the preseason. I understand the Lions' front four is clearly the strength, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to be able to run the football. If you go based on last year's matchup, and the Giants had trouble running the football against the Lions, but let's be honest, Jeff, they couldn't run the football against anybody last season. So I don't know how much stock you could put into the numbers where they had 21 carries for just 41 yards. It's nothing that jumps off the page. Now you have some new offensive linemen, you have some new running backs in the backfield. They should be able to improve on those numbers. If they can run the football, then all that means is they are in good shape to move the ball down the field. It doesn't mean that they're going to put up 35 to 40 points. All it means is that you hope to at least open things up better and you hope to have some balance. If they can't run the football, it doesn't matter who they're going to throw out there at wide receiver. It's going to be a very long evening.
Well, yeah, that's great. That's true enough, buddy. Well, you have a good tonight. Good night. Night tonight watching a game, and I'll talk to you during the weekend.
All right, sounds good, Jeff. Appreciate the phone call.
Yep.
You too. I would have thought Jeff would be a little bit more energized. I mean, come on, guys. This is the first regular season game. I'm not saying to make bold predictions and feel as if the Giants are going to win by 30 points, but, I mean, this is what we've been waiting for. We've been waiting months upon months just to get to some meaningful football, and this is the first opportunity for the Giants to game plan in detail. And Eli Manning spoke about that last week, where he said Ben McAdoo and him have been on the same page for the most part during the course of the preseason. I'm not saying in terms of the execution of the plays. What I mean by that is they're bouncing ideas off of one another, and you want to know and feel comfort in that, that your quarterback and your offensive coordinator are balancing things off of one another. as opposed to it just being Ben McAdoo's script and everybody else just has to follow. So that at least has been a positive. Now this is the first time where they're actually going to study for the opponent, with the exception of that Jets game for the preseason. But remember, that was only one half of football. This is now four quarters. And Eli Manning spoke about the fact that, you know, they have implemented the game plan earlier in the week. They feel good. They have multiple packages that they're going to throw out there. It all comes down to the execution. That's what it comes down to. Who wants to make plays tonight? When Manning looks the way of Reuben Randall, are they going to be on the same page? Is the execution going to be there? Or is it going to be one of those situations that we've seen at times in last year's regular season as well as in the preseason where they're both looking at one another and they're like, you were supposed to run right, he went left, what's going on? I mean, you can't afford to have those mental mistakes. You can't. The Giants turned the ball over too much last year. It's stating the obvious, but you can't emphasize that enough. 44 giveaways. 39 sacks. Those are the two numbers that jump off the page from last season. It can't happen this year again. It's as simple as that. Cannot happen. Two teams that already, and it's just one game, showed improvement in terms of protection. Atlanta won an offensive clinic against the Saints. They protected Matt Ryan pretty well yesterday. And Jake Matthews got hurt in that contest. So he was supposed to replace Sam Baker at the left tackle. Now Matthews goes down. You bring in Gabe Kareemi. Guys lived up to expectations. They filled the void. Dolphins did a very nice job protecting Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill was sacked nearly 60 times last year. That has to improve this year. This is a statement game for the offensive line. Big statement game. And it's only one game, and it doesn't mean that it's going to set the tempo the rest of the way, but considering you have those storylines that you're taking with you into this season, you've got to shed those storylines. And the biggest issue last year was the inability to protect Eli Manning and the inability to protect the football. Those ships need to be righted, and it starts tonight. Remember, the Lions may not be the most opportunistic team. They were pretty opportunistic in the preseason. Very opportunistic. They led the NFL in takeaways in the preseason. It has been a point of emphasis for Detroit, considering they only had 22 takeaways last season, which was extremely low. Terrell Austin, their new defensive coordinator, he came in and he said, guys, we are going to be ball hawks this season. We're going to go after the football, and we are going to make teams pay. 201-939-4513. Let's go to David in North Carolina. Dave, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing well, Dave. What you got? What's on your mind, Dave?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm here. Just wanted to kind of give my thoughts on the way the game tonight's going to go and kind of also piggyback on some of the calls the past week, people giving Anita and other callers a hard time about, you know, not having a positive outlook. I look at the game we played last year, and for all the big names on the Detroit, you know, defensive line, you know, we were able to do some things with some quick passes, and I know stats isn't the tell-all be-all, but if you look at their sack numbers, you know, I mean, they've got a lot of big names on that line, but they weren't, you know, in the top 10 of the league in sacks last year as a defense.
No, they were at the bottom. They only had 33 sacks, and that was a big issue for them. That's why the secondary struggled, because they weren't getting to the quarterback. But I always put things in perspective, and I say, listen, those were last year's numbers. You got a new defensive coordinator now, new schemes. It doesn't mean as if they're going to pick up where they left off last season.
Yeah, and good points. I mean, totally different schemes, both teams. So definitely, I agree. You can't go on exactly what happened last year. You know, extremely excited to get it started, but I just, you know, to me, Lance, I got to see it to believe it, guy. And our number one concern at the end of the season last year was offensive line, and going into this game, to me, it's still offensive line. You know, we're already on a backup guard. We've got a guy that's trying to play guard that's really in a center's body. I mean, how's, you know, I'm sure he's going to be great at pulling, being at that, you know, weight, a little under 300 pounds. But what's he going to do with just straight on, you know, third and one, third and two type situations where he's just got to man up and hold up Fairley or Sue, and I'm talking about Richburg. I still think our biggest problem is what we ended the year last year with, and it's a shame. you know, you look around the division, and I think this was a two-year rebuild, Lance, and I think Jerry Reed looked at this division and said, you know what, if we can, if I can fix everything this offseason, we can compete. And unfortunately, you know, injuries have struck again, and I don't have a strong outlook on this season. And I hate to start off the show this way, but I just don't see how this team can succeed with the offensive line that it has right now.
Well, Dave, I'm not going to disagree with you. The offensive line is still a question mark, and I'm in your boat. We've got to see it before we believe it. I mean, we can sit here, we can speculate all we want about it. It's been a huge storyline during the course of the offseason, and now you're dealing with the injury bug again. Jeff Schwartz, who they brought in, he won't be playing. He's not eligible to come back because he's on short-term IR until Week 9 against the Colts. So Brandon Mosley could play tonight. It's going to be likely a game-time decision. He's on the injury report with a back injury. Got some practice time in on a limited basis late last week. If he can't go, it's going to be what was showcased in the last preseason game. You're going to have John Jerry at right guard. You're going to have Weston Richburg at left guard. And everybody else should be in their respective spots. This was what Tom Coughlin had to say when he was asked about what Dave just alluded to regarding some of the challenges that Weston Richburg is going to face going up against bigger guys, specifically what the Lions are going to throw out there. And this was Tom Coughlin's answer. Real quickly, let me read it to you. Quote, not that difficult. You're going to have to be physical. You're going to have to be able to block a really good football player, no matter if it's the first two of even the substitution. So from a physical standpoint, yes. From a mental standpoint, there's no doubt that there will be some things that will happen in the game that he's going to have to, as a young guy, adapt to the right way. I think he will. End quote. So that is what Tom Coughlin had to say about Weston Richburg going up against the likes of Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley. If you recall, Brandon Mosley, who broke his hand in the Lions game last year in Week 16, he was in for the majority of the contest, held his own against Ndamukong Suh. It was one of his most consistent performances last year. I'm not saying that Weston Richburg is going to duplicate what Mosley did, but the Giants have had some success, if you just want to go based on the track record, throwing some of the second-tier offensive linemen in and them rising to the occasion. I'm sure Weston Richburg is going to enter this game, and he's going to have an immense amount of pressure on him, but he also realizes this is a statement game for him. He's a rookie, a second-round pick. He was given a starting opportunity, mainly due to injuries, but this is now a reason for him to give the coaching staff confidence that they should not think about toying with the offensive line until Jeff Schwartz comes back. So you got to at least take that into consideration in terms of the mindset. Let's head back to the phone lines here, 201-939-4513. Len is in Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Hey, Lance, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Len. How's everything with you? What you got?
Well, good, good. New season, new time for the show. Wow, I wasn't going to miss the first day at a new time, and certainly the opening of the season. Listen, the whole world thinks the Lions are going to win this game tonight. And I think the Lions believe they're gonna win it. I don't think they're gonna win it. I think the Giants win tonight, 23-13. Look for Victor Cruz early, splitting the safeties for a long touchdown, and DeMontre Moore blocks a punt tonight, Lance. And the Giants roll, 23-13.
Well, a special teams play certainly would give them a boost. I think that they are going to need the defense to give them favorable field position. I'm in agreement with you there, Len, because I think that the best thing they could do for this offense tonight is not put them in a position where they have to march down the field 80 yards every single possession. If they could get a short field where they maybe have to go 60, 65 yards, I could see the offense having a greater deal of success than we've seen in the preseason.
You know, if you look through the newspapers, you know, in any town, and you know, you look at the breakdowns of, you know, how teams are going to play and who's going to win games and so forth. So anybody handicapping the whole league, you know, it all starts with the stars, Lance. Our stars have to outplay their stars. Our three or four guys have to outplay their three or four guys. When this game is over, we want to be talking about Eli and Victor. We don't want to be talking about Johnson and Sue. We don't want to be talking about Reggie Bush. We want to be talking about Jennings. You know, it's our big guys, and we want to be talking about Pierre Paul. Look, that left tackle on the Lions, pretty good player. I think his name is
Riley Reiff.
Reiff. Okay?
Yeah.
He's okay. He's a pretty good player, okay?
Their line overall, Len, is good. Their line overall, they only allowed 23 sacks last season.
Yeah.
All five guys are back
okay.
this year.
Good. I'd like to speak to that. But, you know, look, you know, we keep talking about Pierre Paul like he's all world. Come on, Jason. Tonight's your night. I know this guy's a pretty good football player. But we got to – he's a, you know, Jason's our star. We need Jason to shine tonight. I think Kiwi can do a good job from the other side. If there's a weak link along that offensive line on the Lions, it's probably that right tackle.
Well, you're talking about Adrian Waddle, who has some experience under his belt. He's an undrafted player. He's got entering, I believe it's his third season in the league. I mean, by name recognition, you could go with that argument, but he's been fairly consistent since he solidified that starting gig.
Okay. Kiwi wins that matchup. Kiwi wins that matchup. That's where we got to – I mean, that's where we got to you know, I think the defensive ends have to play well. And, you know, come on, Jason. It's you know, it's time. Again, good. You're facing a good football player, but come on, you're better. You're better. Offensive guard, right guard, you made it sound like there's still a chance Mosley may start?
Yeah, I mean, Mosley is not ruled out. He's listed as probable on the injury report, so there's a very good chance that he could play.
Do you think he jumps ahead of Jerry and starts?
Well, he had some practice time. It was limited. I think they're going to go based on how his back can hold up probably during pregame warm-ups.
Yeah.
I think they could go either way. It would not surprise me if they stick with Jerry and then Mosley comes in if Jerry struggles, or they start off with Mosley. If Mosley gets re-aggravated, then they bring in Jerry. I mean, the goal is you want to have depth at that position, Len, going into this first game.
Right. Absolutely. Look, if Jerry starts... you know, nothing personal against Mosley. But if Jerry starts, look, Jerry Reese brought this guy in. He didn't bring him in to be a backup. He believed this guy could start at guard. So, hey, come on, show us. I mean, Jerry.
Well, I don't know about that, Len. I think that he brought him in for depth purposes. I don't know if they brought him in with the mindset he absolutely is going to start. They just felt he'll increase the depth chart and he'll serve as another form of competition for Mosley or anybody else that they were thinking of going at right guard.
Okay. We don't want to get back to the Chris Snee thing. You know, okay, maybe we thought Chris was going to start. I'm not sure Jerry Reese thought Chris was going to be able to handle this whole thing and get back into it. Just my personal opinion, I think he brought John Jerry in to start at guard, not to bring a backup, not to be a backup. Now, look, maybe Mosley outplayed him, and Mosley deserves to get that start.
Well, hold on, Len, and I don't mean to cut you off. I'll let you continue. It wasn't a matter of so much that he outplayed him. How about the fact that Jerry was barely on the field this offseason? The guy was still recovering from knee surgery, so Jerry wasn't out there. They couldn't judge him and evaluate him. That's really what it came down to.
Okay, if you want to tell me that's the case, that's fine. I can buy into that. I understand that argument. I just think, you know, we brought this guy in to plug into the right guard spot if Chris wasn't coming back. And, you know, if he starts tonight, go get, you know, I hope he plays well. What about outside linebacker? Are they going to go with the rookie, or is McLean going to get the job to start?
I think it'll be Jameel McClain to start with Jaquan Williams and Beeson.
Probably.
Right now, I would say, is in position to start unless something happens before the contest where they feel as if they'd rather limit his snaps and bring him in the middle of the game. But I'm going under the preface and the impression that it'll be Beeson, McClain, and Williams, and Kennard will come in based on situations that may play out where they feel that he could come in and take advantage of a matchup.
Going to be a good player. Lance.
Absolutely, I agree. I think he could be a big time playmaker.
One more thing. I liken this game tonight to a game we played against the 49ers in San Francisco a few years ago when everybody said, oh man, the 49ers are going to run. Oh, they're hot. I think they were undefeated at the time. Crowd was crazy. 49ers were just beside themselves. Harbaugh had him, you know, all charged up. I think that's the way the Lions are going to be tonight. Opening night, Monday night football. They're not on Monday Night Football a whole lot. Monday Night Football, big night, you know, honoring Mr. Ford. Well-deserved, obviously. And I think they're going to be sky-high. Just like that 49er game, keep your composure, play tough, hang in there in that first quarter. Okay, so maybe they score in their first drive 3 points. Maybe we stop them a second time. They get a second field goal. It's 6-0 after one. Just like that 49er game, they exhale and we roll.
Well, the key about that Niners game, Leonard, appreciate the phone call. Good talking with you today. Was the fact that the defense was able to force turnovers. And I believe the game that he's alluding to was when Alex Smith was still the quarterback for the Niners and Antrell Roll picked him off twice. And Alex Smith was very good in the ball security department that season, and then the Giants' defense capitalized. So if they could get a few turnovers via the defense, then Len's script is going to play out and it will become reality. But what stood out to me about that Giants-Niners game was the defense was extremely opportunistic. They don't get those turnovers, perhaps that game plays out a little bit differently. If you remember, Bradshaw gets a touchdown off a very short field situation where they were already in the red zone off an interception. That's why I'm saying the defense can do wonders for the offense, especially with so many question marks surrounding the offense. The best friend of the offense tonight for the Giants is their teammates, that being the defense and the special teams. Shorten the field, take the pressure off of Eli Manning and company, and then you're going to be in a position to be competitive and win this game. But if the defense doesn't shorten the field and it's one 80-yard drive after another, is this offense heading into game number one in an ideal position to march down the field like that time and time again? I'd be a little bit leery about that situation. But if the defense goes out there and makes some game-changing plays, that is going to be a big boost to the offense. And look at the Dallas Cowboys game yesterday as an example. What is the big storyline about the Dallas Cowboys this season? The fact that the offense is going to have to do the heavy lifting because the defense is going to struggle and they are not going to be able to make plays. And what happens? What does the offense do yesterday for the Dallas Cowboys? 4 turnovers in the first half. So then you put your defense in a very precarious situation. I'm not building comparisons between the Giants and the Cowboys here, but what I'm saying is if the storyline, and if we go based on the media storylines right now, in general terms, it's that the Giants' defense is their strength and the offense has question marks, which is sometimes typical early in the season, the defense is ahead of the offense. But if you use that premise, then you would say, okay, the defense heading into this game needs to make plays to put the offense in a better position. And that's the parallel that I'm building to what transpired with the Cowboys in that Niners game. Let's head back to the lines. Alan is in Motown. Alan, what's happening?
Hey, Lance, how are you?
I'm doing well, Alan. How about yourself? What you got?
Good, getting ready for it to get head over there a little bit later. I don't get it. We're facing a team that lost 6 of their last 7 games last year. I mean, people are here on the line acting like we're playing the Seattle Seahawks tonight. I mean, I don't understand why there's a lack of confidence in this team. Obviously, the offense was a struggle, but everybody gets a clean slate. It's the beginning of the year. We saw Buffalo beat Chicago yesterday. We saw Cleveland almost pull off an upset coming back. We saw Miami beat New England. So I just don't understand all the negativity on the phone right now. I mean, this is a really big opportunity for us to start the season off, and I think Len made a great point. He said, yeah, stars have to play. We have to, you know, it has to be Eli, it has to be Vic, it has to be JPP, it has to be our main guys to give us, but I don't understand what Detroit has done that makes them such an overwhelming favorite or something that we're worried about. You know, last year, Prince Amukamara held them to 4 catches and 40 yards, so I don't...
Well, but keep in mind, Calvin was hurt in that game, Alan. Let's not forget about that. He had a knee injury and an ankle injury.
Everybody's banged up in week 16, Lance. You know that. Everybody's banged up in week 16.
Well, but if we are going to use that as a comparison, Alan, in fairness, this is week 1 now, and mostly everybody's healthy in week 1, if you're to draw those comparisons.
So then what happened with Reggie Bush? Reggie Bush didn't go off like that. George Bell didn't go off. I mean, it's not like we played Detroit last year and they scored 40, 45 points.
No, not at all. You're 100% right. I think the defense overall played very well in that game, and the defense was very good in the second half of the season. I don't think anybody would argue that the defense was mediocre. They went from the 26th overall unit to the 8th overall unit. So I don't think there's any major issues or questions about how the defense handled Detroit in Week 16, and I think a lot of people feel the Giants match up well personnel-wise against what the Lions are going to throw out there. Because if the Lions throw out 3 or 4 wide receivers, the Giants this year have 3 or 4 corners that can at least handle one-on-one situations more so than in any other year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to come down to the fourth quarter as with any game. And it's just, you know, obviously mistake-free football. You know, last year, even though we got off that rocky start, you know, you always kind of felt some of those games, especially the Chicago game, some of those games where you think, okay, this is the fourth quarter, even the opening game against Dallas, you think Eli's going to come together and put it together like he always does. So I think it's going to come down this year. Can he get it done in the fourth quarter starting tonight? My prediction, 31-23. I really feel like we're going to put up some points. Keep it short. Keep it very short. We don't need to throw down the field. Obviously, he's not going to have that much time anyway. So just quick 10, 15-yard passes, slants, quick runs. I think 31-23, and only thing I'll caution is I don't want these guys who have been all negative today to call in tomorrow pounding their chest that we pulled out a victory. So,
well, you know, everybody, when it comes to the fan base, and Alan, appreciate the phone call. Enjoy the game tonight. Glad that we were able to get you on this afternoon. Sometimes, you know, people make bold predictions before a game, and then they find ways to at least tweak the argument or find additional evidence to continue their storyline. Listen, regardless of whether the Giants win or lose tonight, it's not going to make or break the season. It's not going to necessarily set the tone for the rest of the season. It is one game, and nobody should hit the panic button, and nobody should crown anybody a champ. I think that's the easiest thing that everybody can at least walk away with from tonight. The one thing, though, that you would like to see is progression on the offensive side of the ball. And what I mean by that is now you're going to have the starters out there for four quarters. So you can't all of a sudden throw out the excuse, well, we didn't have four quarters, we didn't game plan, it was hard for us to gel, get a feel for the game. You have four quarters tonight. If things don't start off smoothly in the first quarter, you have the second quarter, you have the third quarter, you have the fourth quarter. You have the ability to make adjustments more so than they've ever had dating back to the preseason. So I think that's a new element to watch, and that's why I'm saying as the game progresses, you'd like to see better continuity out of the offense, whether it be the running game, whether it be the passing game, and so forth. In terms of why people are skeptical about this contest, and some Giants fans are wondering why there is some skepticism, I mean, a lot of people are looking at the five preseason games. And on the offensive side of the ball, you know, the Giants starting group only had three touchdowns. So that's why there's skepticism. And then you look at the Lions. Are the Lions intimidating as the Seattle Seahawks, as the San Francisco 49ers, as the Saints, let's say? No, I wouldn't necessarily go that far. You do need to tip your cap to the team. They do have a lot of offensive weapons. I mean, that has been well documented. You can't get around that argument. There's a number of players on that offense that can make plays, so you can't take them lightly. Is the defense intimidating? The front seven is. Their linebacking core, to me, which is the one area of this defense that doesn't get enough attention. Everybody talks about Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley, and then everybody talks about how the secondary has a bunch of injuries and unknown commodities, and Darius Slay, who's the youngster, who's still developing. Fine, I'll give you that. How about the linebackers? DeAndre Levy. You know what he did last season? He had six interceptions. That was tied for second to the NFL. And he's no rookie. He's got plenty of experience under his belt. Very opportunistic linebacker. Then you look at what Tahir Whitehead did in the preseason, and he now is entering his third season in the NFL, adjusting to his starting role. And Stephen Tulloch in the middle, who had well over 100 tackles last season. They have a lot of experience. To me, the linebackers sets the tone for that defense, more so than the back end and the front. That's the group that the Giants should be worried about, more so than any other facet of this Lions defense. Let's head back to the Lions. J.D. is in North Carolina. J.D., what's happening?
Hey, Lance, how's everything? Thanks for taking my call.
Not a problem, J.D. What's on your mind? What you got?
I just want to talk about a couple of the matchups we got going on today. Kind of to touch off of what you were just talking about with the linebackers. Yeah, Stephen Tulloch, too. He's a very, very solid middle linebacker, not just in the run game, but he's great in coverage as well as DeAndre Levy, as you were saying. But I think if you're the Giants and you're looking at creating the best mismatches you possibly can against the Lions, I think what you're trying to do really is attack this secondary. I know it's been brought up before, but I mean, I don't think they've got anybody in their secondary that's going to be able to make a tackle on Rashad Jennings or Andre Williams. So if we can get our running backs to the second level against the Lions, I think that's going to be a nightmare for them to try to stop these running backs that we got. And then as far as the matchups that we've got against their offense, I think, you know, aside from the fact that Calvin Johnson's probably the best wide receiver, you know, I've seen since Randy Moss, I think most people would agree with that. I think the Giants defense matches up pretty well against what Detroit likes to do. You know, they're a down the field passing team, and the secondary that we've got, I think they're going to be able to handle Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate. I really do. I think the main matchup for the Giants on defense, what they're going to have to do is contain Reggie Bush. He's obviously still got all world speed, and you know, if he can get down to the sideline, that's something you don't want to see. Obviously, we got a lot of speed. The Giants have a lot of speed on their defense also, but I think the one matchup that we're really going to need to keep an eye out is Reggie Bush. I just want to get your thoughts on that, and I'll take your answer off there.
Sounds good, JD. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. Reggie Bush can be a nightmare because of what he could do on the ground and through the air. And if you go based on the Week 16 numbers, and I believe one of our previous callers mentioned that Bush didn't do anything of note in that meeting last year, and you're right, the numbers for Reggie Bush don't jump off the page. Joy Bell, though, wreaked havoc on the ground and through the air. Usually, the Giants have matched up a linebacker with a mobile running back. If you think about the times that they went up against the Eagles, they would throw Jaquan Williams at LeSean McCoy. He would play that shadow position. I think that that would probably be a similar attack that they'll throw the way of the Lions tonight. You want that versatile linebacker who can match up with Reggie Bush, because I think what the Lions are going to do more so tonight then perhaps look to run aggressively with their backs, I think they're just going to try to get these guys out into open space. I could see Joy Bell and Reggie Bush between the two of them easily having 10 targets, because I think they're going to look to really test the front of the Giants' defense. You're not going to have Walter Thurmond most likely match up with Reggie Bush or Joy Bell, because I think that the Lions are going to have multiple wide receivers out there. So you're going to have a linebacker more often than not on the running back. And if I'm the Lions, I'd want to test that unit. John Beeson, his first game back, how is the communication working? So it's going to be very important, as JD just threw out, for whoever is assigned on Reggie Bush to know where he is at all times and not give him access to any of the sidelines and especially the middle of the field. You want to be right in front of him so that if he's moving left or right, you can read him very well. Because if he gets out into open space, he can easily turn a 5-yard catch into a 30-yard gain. And Joy Bell could do the same. Joy Bell is not nearly as shifty as Reggie Bush, but that doesn't mean that you can all of a sudden overlook him. So the linebacker play, and I'm pinning out and I'm pointing out Jaquan Williams. I think that's going to be a big assignment for him tonight when he gets on Reggie Bush. How well does he play the running back for the Lions? If he can limit the damage, then all of a sudden Matthew Stafford is going to be forced to either press the envelope down the field or make plays in the middle of the field if he realizes that the Lions do not have a good read on how the Giants linebackers are playing them. So that could very well dictate the tone of this contest. Let's head back to the lines. We got Adam in Ohio. Adam, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Adam. What's on your mind today? What you got?
Well, first and foremost, when this broadcast ends, I'm going to hit 23 North and head up to Detroit for the game, and my mother's joining me for her first ever Giants game.
Very so, nice.
Look, yeah, hopefully they can get us a win, huh?
That would always be a nice way to start off your first ever game.
That's what I'm hoping. Last Monday night I watched them was in Cleveland in 08 after we won the Super Bowl. We were 4-0, and that was a miserable ride back to Columbus, to say the least. So
I do remember that game. That was the one disappointment of that 08 campaign. But anyway, what's on your mind?
Well, it's an easy statement to make, and it's generic, but I think the reality of this is we will rise and fall tonight and the next 15 games with Eli Manning. I think we can rely on the defense. I think we'll have the tools around the offense. Can the offense adjust to make the quick releases if need be, if the O-line isn't holding up, and can Eli manage the game? I don't think we need, 403, but, 250 and one, maybe two would be nice. But the critical stat, in my estimation, is going to be the interceptions and the turnovers. If he can manage the game, I think we have success.
Well, I don't think that you went out on a limb or you're stretching the facts there by laying out the fact that they need to protect the football. And that was a big issue that plagued them last season. The Lions are not the most opportunistic team if you look at last year's numbers, but it has been a point of emphasis in the preseason for the Lions to take the football away from their opponent. I'm sure they're going to look to do that considering some of the Giants personnel last year that has returned and had trouble protecting the football. So if you're not giving gifts to your opposition, you're always going to be in a position to hang around late in this game and set the tone. If you give gifts to your opposition, you're going to dig yourself in an early hole and you're going to have to play catch up. And while 2 years ago that was something that they were able to overcome, last year it wasn't something they were able to overcome, and it's not a script you want to have to follow again.
Well, agreed. And I think that's also going to help us very much in the way of time of possession. I mean, if we can kill 4 or 5 minutes at a time, I'd love 7. But even if we can do that to the tune of 3 points, you keep Calvin Johnson and Matt Stafford off the field, you can't score from the bench.
You know, so.
Well,
again,
but with
I mean,
that being said, though, you still you want to be able to put touchdowns on the board as opposed to field goals because, you know, I think the Giants' defense is better than what it was even last year, but they have the ability, the Lions, in the blink of an eye to march down the field. And then, listen, you could have milked all that clock, but all of a sudden the Lions' offense comes back and responds. So if you're going to milk the clock, as good as it is to just take away and put points on the board, you really want to get those touchdowns. You don't want to have to keep putting 7 or 9 minute drives together and settle for 3 points because the Lions could easily respond back with a touchdown, and then it doesn't matter if you have a huge advantage in time of possession. Look at the Niners-Cowboys game last year. The Dallas Cowboys had a huge advantage in time of possession. They had nothing to show for it. So there's not much stock and substance sometimes behind time of possession.
Well, yeah, and I agree with you, and there's always a potential for a home run, but I think if we can sustain defensively and, you know, limit their drives and keep the big plays out of there, I think even the you know, obviously you need some touchdowns, but even some field goals and milk clock I think would be adequate. Hey, you make a pretty good point, though. With Calvin Johnson out there, you do need to start putting points up on the board. Any word on the new the guard from the 49ers? I haven't been able to catch the website to see what his status is. Is he going to get any time today?
You're talking about Adam Snyder. Adam Snyder should be dressing for this contest, given some of the injuries that they have on the offensive line, but I think it really depends on how much practice time he got out there this week and how confident they are that he's all of a sudden going to be able to go out there and know the plays. Tom Coughlin was asked about it at Friday's press conference, and his answer was, you know, why not? Why shouldn't he be ready? So he did show confidence in Adam Snyder and appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in today. How much he plays, I mean, that's to remain to be seen. I think that he'll have a uniform tonight. I wouldn't necessarily expect him to have a huge role unless somebody goes down with an injury. They're going to go with the players who have been here during the course of the preseason. But Snyder is a veteran offensive lineman. He's played all 5 positions during the course of his career. He's no youngster. He's seen a lot of different schemes. He should have a jersey tonight. But don't go into this game feeling as if he's going to be out there for X amount of snaps. I wouldn't necessarily bank on that. But he will be somebody that, in a pinch, they could certainly rely on. Let's head back to the phone lines. We've got Yub in Georgia. Yub, what's happening?
What's going on, Lance?
Doing well, Yub. How about you? What you got?
All right. Yeah, first, before I, you know, touch on the game coming up tonight, I was touching on the first caller. Like, we can't really, you know, blame him because, like, listening to, who was it, Paul and Pete out the last couple of days, I think they scared a few of the fans. They got us thinking that, you know, we're a terrible team and the Lions are this Super Bowl team, you know, like the way they're amping them up. But my assessment of it is these guys, they're coming on they're coming in with a new offense just like we are. I think they have a new defensive coordinator as well.
They do. They have coordinators on both sides that are new.
Okay. So but as far as the game goes, I think our defense matches up better against their offense, and I think our offense outmatches the defense, especially their secondary. Because I mean, once we get if our offense can keep Eli upright and give him some time, I think that Eli will have a chance to hit, you know, those targets downfield. Because I mean, it's open back there. Like, I had presented the question to Paul when I had called a couple of days ago. I asked him to name, you know, without looking at the sheets or any stats, I asked him to look at could he name me any of the starting cornerbacks, and he couldn't. You know what I'm saying? So.
You got a veteran on one side in Mathis. You have a young guy in Slay on the other side. And Slay didn't play much during his rookie campaign because he was hurt. So to me, he's essentially still a rookie, given the amount of games that he played last year. And they're down their starting safety. To me, their most reliable safety in James Ehedebo, who they brought over from the Ravens. So now Glover Quinn becomes their top-notch safety, who's had plenty of experience in the NFL. But you're putting next to him an unproven commodity. Yes, on paper, I think you make an excellent case, Yub. It's an attractive scenario for the Giants. However, with that being said, and I'm not expecting you to put much stock in this argument that I'm going to throw out because it is a new offense this year. How many times, though, if you recall last year, we'd go through all of the Giants' opponents, and I remember having these conversations on this program, I'd say, oh, this is an attractive matchup for the Giants. They're getting the Vikings on Monday Night Football. The Vikings have the worst secondary in the NFL. They gave up the most passing touchdowns last season. Eli couldn't even light them up. So sometimes we get so caught up in the paper, and then the execution is not there, and things don't click. flicks. So, yes, yeah, on paper it looks good, but it's going to come down to the execution. Are they going to truly take advantage of those matchups, or are there still going to be communication issues? That's still what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, that's true, but like a lot of that is a testament to the play calling last year. Like, how many times last year did we have those teams that we matched up well as far as passing goes, and Kevin Gilbride will be calling these atrocious plays. These screens, which were so predictable last year, every time everyone knew when it was 3rd and 10 or 3rd and long, everyone knew the screen was coming. And it's like, you know, and a lot of times we'll be in perfect passing situations, and they would open up with straight, like, 2 runs in a row, you know, against teams that had garbage secondaries, you know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of that, those stats from last year were is a testament to the play calling that last year. I think this year is going to be completely different because, you know, we have McAdoo that, you know, I think he takes advantage as far as, like, you know, Eli's strengths and our passing abilities. But I definitely think that this game is not – I don't think it's going to be as tough of a game that everybody is leading it up to be. I think Eli is going to have a good game. I think he's going to silence the critics because everyone's saying, oh, Eli looked this way, he looked that way. Like, this was the preseason that we saw him in, and it's not like they opened up the playbook for him in the preseason. In the preseason we ran the ball more than anything. Eli threw, like, maybe a couple passes to the running backs, a lot of passes to the running backs, and a lot of these short routes. You know what I'm saying? So I think this game coming up, I think they're going to open up the playbook. But I think as long as Eli is able to have time in the pocket, which I think he will, you know, I think you guys touched on it already. Like, yeah, they do have a pretty intimidating front line, but they didn't really gather like that many sacks. But I think Eli will be able to sit back and get some time in the pocket, and I think he's make those strikes downfield and open up that offense for us. And I think once that running game gets going, it's definitely going to open things up even more so. You know what I'm saying? Because I think we will be able to establish that power running game with Jennings and Williams.
Well, they didn't have much of a running game in last year throughout the whole season, Yub, and appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. So if they get a running game going tonight, I mean, if you're to compare last year's meeting with this year's meeting, that's a new element that you couldn't find in last year's meeting, and that should certainly hope that it could open up some things in the passing game. The running game has looked good in the preseason. Jennings has had his opportunities. Williams has had his opportunities. And you hope that could carry over to this regular season matchup. They do have a lot of big guys in that front four. And Fairley and Ndamukong Suh are good against the run, not just necessarily getting to the quarterback. And I keep throwing out the linebackers. Once again, if there's one element of this Lions defense to watch tonight, it is the linebackers. Because a lot of these linebackers are opportunistic and they are very good against the run. That's why they led that unit in tackles. You had Levy and Tulloch each had over 100 tackles last season, 1 and 2 in terms of tackles on the team. And Whitehead, who is right now getting played up because of the hype machine, we've got to see it before we all of a sudden crown him. He's had a very productive preseason, even a better spring, where he won that other outside job and he's run away with it. So I'll be very interested to see how active he is, because unlike Levy and Tulloch, you know, he's a guy that can run sideline to sideline. He's got enough versatility. That could be an X factor for their defense this season, somebody that was not present on the depth chart as much last year. So I'm going to keep going by the argument that the linebackers, to me, are really going to make or break this defense tonight for the Lions. Not so much the Suhs and the Fairleys and, you know, how weak or how strong the secondary is. Watch out for these linebackers. If the Giants can get to that second tier via the run in the pass and they can win those man-on-man battles with the linebackers, that will put them in a very good position. They can't get past the linebackers, it could be a very long evening. Let's go to Drew in Virginia. Drew, what's happening?
Hey, John. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Drew. It's Lance, but it's good to talk to you. What's happening?
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to correct that.
No worries. So what's happening?
First and foremost, man, I just want to say this, man. I'm tired of hearing the old "we were predictable" line with Kevin Gilbride's offense last year. The bottom line, man, is this team bit the bullet and they stunk because we didn't have the personnel. Okay, we won 2 Super Bowls. This offense that KG was running was prolific and nobody could stop it. So get off the, you know what I mean? Yeah, you know, we had issues last year, but, you know, consistently blame Kevin Gilbride is really sticking your head in the sand. And anyway, man, you know, I just want to make an observation yesterday, you know, watching the games and everything. This is what I learned, okay? I'm kind of being sarcastic, okay? Everybody is starting 0-0. Nobody's being eliminated from the Super Bowl contention. Nobody's locked into Super Bowl contention. This is one game and one game only. Every team has a chance. That said, I do, because I'm a Giants fan, I do believe we will win. It'll be a tough fought game. It'll be a close game. You know, I'm probably looking at something like, you know, around, 21-17 or something like that. I just, you know, on paper, yes, the Lions are a better team, and am I betting any money on it that we're going to win? No, I'm not putting no money on it, okay? On paper, the Lions should win this game based on everything we've seen, but this is game one. Everybody's got jitters and this and that and everything else. You saw it in Dallas. You saw it even in the Denver game. Peyton and Boyce didn't play particularly well in the second half. New England got upset. You know, you saw a lot of teams.
It was a lot of tale of two halves yesterday where teams, some of them came out strong, looked sluggish in the second half or vice versa. And that's what sometimes happens in game number one. You're still working out the kinks,
exactly.
Whether you're a good team or a bad team.
Exactly, and I kind of feel like this probably will be you know, this may happen in this Lions game. Defensively, I think if we're going to win this game, I am going to hang my hat on the defense, on our defense. I think, you know, we might be able to bug Stafford and his guys. Again, you know, game one, I think this would probably be one of these games that, okay, this is game one and the Giants escaped with a win. That's how I look at it. I have to score. Again, I'm going to go 21-17. My score line might be a little high, to be quite honest, but I'm going to say 21-17 Giants in a squeaker, and I'm going to say we get lucky and escape. But I do want to say that regardless of whether we win or lose tonight, it isn't the end of the world, so people don't need to be jumping off bridges.
Not at all, and I agree with you, Drew, and appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. You can't get caught up in just one game. And I understand on tomorrow's program, whether they win or lose, there's going to be maybe overly excited fans, and then there's going to be disappointed fans. Listen, that's what happens. A lot of you are invested in these games, and I'm not blaming you, and I'm not saying not to care, but after one game, you can't judge a season, I'll tell you that. And a number of the good defenses this year, piggybacking off of Drew's point, came out somewhat sluggish. For example, I think the Saints' defense is a really good unit. They didn't look too good against the Atlanta Falcons yesterday. They have one of the best secondaries in the NFL with the addition of Jarris Byrd at safety, and they were a top-three defense in terms of getting to the quarterback last year, and Cam Jordan and company didn't get to Matt Ryan too often in yesterday's game. Denver also was very busy in the offseason bringing in some new faces and had a sluggish second half against Andrew Luck and the Colts. So, you know, even some of the good defenses have been sluggish to start the season. Sometimes teams don't necessarily hit their stride until they get a game or two under their belt. It'd be very interesting to see how the Giants defense performs, because on paper I consider the Giants defense to be certainly in the top half of the league. How does this group come together now that Beeson's coming back and he hasn't had a great deal of practice time under his belt? He was very limited this week. This could be a game where, you know, maybe it doesn't click right away, but by game two or game three, then you start to see what this defense is capable. You at least need to take that into consideration as well. I want to jump to a few tweets or two before we get to a few more calls and then wrap up the program. A number of you sending out some of your thoughts and concerns regarding the Giants tonight. Let's take a look at Twitter. I know a few of you wrote, where is the video feed? We'll have the video feed up and running tomorrow. We've moved to the new slot today, noon, but tomorrow we'll have the video element up and running. So if that at least puts an end to the mystery, I know a number of you were chatting back and forth on that topic. Let's take a look at some of the other comments on the game, at least. At JFK Madness, Stafford can be rattled into making bad decisions with the football. JPP and Moore need to get to him. And they did not have much of a pass rush going last season. Stafford is prone to turnovers. He turned the ball over quite some time. last season. So if they can get him into some precarious situations, once again, that then shortens the field for your offense. But there's no guarantee that this pass rush is automatically going to click here in game number one. And a lot of the storylines, by the way, have been focusing on JPP needs 10 sacks. JPP needs 12 sacks. We really need to stop focusing on this player individually needs this amount of sacks. How about focusing on the unit? If the unit as a whole gets to the quarterback and the linebackers help that cause, that's going to put the defense in a very good position. Everybody makes it sound as if the defense is solely leaning on JPP. I don't buy that. I think there's a number of other elements to this defense that can help make this group consistent. Yes, does JPP need to be better than he was last year? Absolutely. But do we have to go to the degree that he has to be 2011 JPP and he has to get nearly 17 sacks? I'm not buying that. I don't buy the fact that JPP needs 17 sacks with his defense to be productive this season. If you believe that, hey, you're entitled to that. I just think we're putting so much pressure and credit and stock into the fact that JPP alone needs 20 sacks, because if he doesn't, this defense is going to be a wreck. Last year, he didn't get too many sacks, and the defense was respectable down the stretch, and they won games as a result of the defense. He needs to be consistent. He needs to be disruptive. That's the best way that I could describe what JPP needs to do this season. Being disruptive doesn't mean that you have to have X amount of sacks. Being disruptive means you have to deflect the ball on some short passes. You have to be able to stop the run. You have to be able to force fumbles. And then, as another added compliment, you need to get sacks. So, to me, the fair way to describe JPP, he's got to be disruptive. Let's leave it at that. I love how the fact that I'm reading stories, whether it be the media, the fans, you know, JPP needs 20 sacks this year. If he doesn't get 20 sacks, Giants defense is in trouble. I mean, that is honing in to one minuscule detail, which to me is unfair. And I'm not just talking about from the Giants' perspective. Any other player. Does J.J. Watt need 35 sacks for the Texans' defense to do well? There are a number of big playmakers that know how to get to the quarterback. That doesn't mean that you need to pin X amount of sacks on them. Let's head back to the phone lines at 201-939-4513. Lance Meadow with you here on a Monday. Big Blue Kickoff Live at our new time, noon Eastern. You could also follow and interact with me directly at Lance Meadow on Twitter. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Let's go to James in Ecuador. James, what's happening?
Yeah, hi. How you doing, Lance? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, James.
I guess I've got a different perspective as to what's going to happen tonight. We all know that our Achilles heel is the offensive line. And there's no question about that. It was in 2013. It is now. And this is all going to hinge upon what the coaches and the management did in the offseason. Do we have the players or don't we? This offensive line, it's not about Eli Manning. It's not about tight ends or anything else. It's about the offensive line. And if they don't get it done, then you can forget about running the ball with all our good running backs. You can forget about Eli being an MVP in the Super Bowl. It's the offensive line. It was last year. It will be this year. Everything will click with an offensive line. I contest that tonight's game, our Achilles heel is the offensive line, and that's what Detroit's coming after. They're going to line up that line of scrimmage and stop the ball carriers in their tracks and go after Eli after that. That's what their program is going to be on defense.
Well, last year they did a good job protecting Eli Manning in the Lions game, if you look at the numbers, and the front four for the Lions is pretty much still intact, with the exception of losing one of their players to the Bears. They only enabled Eli Manning to be sacked two times, and you're right, it's going to set the tone, because you can't run the football and you can't pass the football and you can't be a productive offense if your offensive line is struggling. You look at the Dolphins last year, you look at the Falcons, you look at the Ravens, you look at the Giants, it was a trend across the board. The offensive line is going to define this team, and right now there are some question marks, but I think that the group showed some continuity in the last preseason game. If that's the same five that start in this contest, hopefully they'll hold up during the course of the game. And you add some depth in Adam Snyder. Listen, on paper, it's not a group that jumps off the page. There's concern with Jeff Schwartz being banged up. But before we hit the panic button and say that this offensive line is destined for following the same script as last season, let's see a regular season game or two before we start dictating how they're going to perform.
Well, all I'm saying is that, you know, this is not on the players anymore. It's on the coaches and the management. And what they did in the offseason, what they brought in, and how they prepared the team. I'm saying that Detroit's going to come at us tonight, and they're going to come at us, you know, right off the get-go.
Well, and they should come after
that. They're going to do that for four quarters because they know that the only thing we got is a running game so far that we've proven.
And I'm sure that that's going to be the game plan for the Lions. And if I'm Terrell Austin, that's what I would do. And, James, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in. The offensive line, that's why it's going to be a good test. And I mentioned that earlier in the program. This is going to be a nice challenge for this offensive line right out of the gates because you're going up against a defensive front that has a lot of bodies that could easily push around the offensive lineman. Let's see what happens. Is it just on the coaching staff? I don't know if I would go that far. I think the players need to make a statement too. You know, John Jerry, he's a veteran at this point in his career. You're going to say that the coaching staff is going to make or break John Jerry? I think John Jerry understands the principles of the NFL. Adam Snyder, who they just brought in, if they have confidence that Adam Snyder could go out there and play tonight, it's not so much what the coaching staff has done. It's also the fact about what Adam Snyder has done to get himself mentally and physically prepared. There's veterans on this team. If this was a team full of a bunch of rookies, you could say, hey, the coaching staff needs to do magic this season. They've got to wave their magic wand to get these players up and running. There are some established veterans on this team. It's time to step up, man up, and play football. And a lot of you pointed that out on Twitter in terms of JPP and all of these veteran defensive linemen. It's time for them to man up, step up, play football. It's not necessarily time for all of a sudden the coaching staff to give them a pep talk and remind them about the X's and O's. It's a good test for both lines. The reason why I say that, the Lions, who bring back all five of their offensive linemen from last season, only surrendered 23 sacks. That was second fewest in the NFL. It's a good test for the defensive front, for the Giants. And it's a good test for the Giants' offensive line because you're going up against a group that was not necessarily opportunistic, but Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley, if you look at their credentials on paper, these guys are big, they're massive, and they're disruptive. Whether or not they get sacks every game, whether or not they hold the opposition to X amount of rushing yards, they're disruptive. I think they've been consistent enough during their limited NFL careers to prove that they're disruptive. So it's a good test, a good litmus test for both entities in the trenches for the Giants. And that's why if you're a Giants fan, if you're the Giants coaching staff, you say, hey, you know what? Out of the gates, we're going to see what this team is made up of. But once again, despite what is produced tonight, doesn't necessarily mean that this is going to be an omen of what's yet to come. We've got to at least put things in perspective. Okay, hey, this is how the Giants performed opening night. This is where they need to improve. Hey, if it becomes a trend over the next two or three games, then all of a sudden you start to say, hey, this could be an issue. Now they've got to start doing their homework. They may need to bring in some new bodies. They may need to make some tweaks. I don't think we're at that stage yet. I think that's extremely premature. However, with that being said, and I've said this in the weeks leading up to the regular season, do not be surprised if the offense has some ups and downs tonight. Considering that it wasn't necessarily lighting things up in the preseason, and considering that there's been some ups and downs even during the course of practice with some of the personnel. If they go out and they score 35 points tonight, hey, that would be a pleasant surprise if that happens. But if they wind up settling for 17 to 20 points, I don't want to hear phone calls tomorrow where you're flabbergasted. And I think a number of the fans realize that because I could see based on the tweets and I could see based on the lines, a number of you have put things in perspective. You realize that, hey, when it comes to the offense, there's only so much you can expect tonight. When it comes to the defense, you'd like to see them make some game-changing plays because this group is further along than the offense. But the offense right now is a wild card, and it could take a few games till it really clicks and hits its true potential. So if it doesn't come tonight, you know, it may not happen until week three against the Texans or week four at the Redskins. This is going to be some of the growing pains because even though they've had some preseason games under their belt, I still look at this game as the true first dress rehearsal in my eyes. Why? Because this is the first time that the offense is going to be out there for four complete quarters and the first time that Ben McAdoo and Eli Manning have sat down and game planned for all four quarters. We have not seen that at all during the preseason. If this is year two of an offense, it's a little bit different. This is game one of a new era of offensive football for the Giants. That at least needs to be noted. Let me get to a few tweets here before we wrap up the program. A number of you bringing up some interesting points about how this game could play out. Let's take a look at what the chatter is mentioning. Avery at TQManAF. Looking good on paper is one thing. Execution is another. Bottom line, the O-line and the defense has got to hold up. We've been talking about how this team looks on paper and a little in terms of X's and O's in the preseason, but mostly all the hype surrounding the Lions, that's on paper. Just like all the potential and all of the concerns for the Giants is a mix of paper slash limited resume in gameplay. Now we're going to get past the paper argument tonight. We're actually going to get to a point where you have four quarters worth of material that you can put some substance behind. So now the conversation starts to change in terms of what Avery is hitting on. Anthony in Phoenix at ABR127 saying that the Giants need to run the ball down the throat of the Lions tonight and then go deep. Well, running the ball usually can set up some opportunities down the field. And if the Giants are smart, unless they see some breakdowns with the Lions defense, I would try to be very physical early on. Give Jennings and give Williams the ball early and then slowly start to open things up. You don't want to come out and have the ratio where you're throwing the ball twice or three times as much as you're running. And Tom Coughlin, by the way, alluded to that during the course of the preseason. He mentioned, hey, the reason why we ran the ball more so than we passed the ball during the preseason, we are not looking to repeat last year. And last year was we get lopsided because we get down early, we throw the ball much more so than we run the football, and all of a sudden the turnovers start to pile in. So that is never a recipe for success if you all of a sudden want to put your quarterback under center and tell him he's got to throw the ball 45 times. You want more balance, and you especially want balance in week one because you're not looking at yourself where you're all of a sudden trying to make up three or four games in the standings. Black Caesar at Black Caesar, sack count should not be our priority. That will come in time. And that was referring to what I was talking about earlier in the program where, you know, all the conversation, all the stories I'm seeing is about how JPP needs X amount of sacks. I've never seen a conversation about a defense focus around one player and what his stats need to be like. I've never seen something like that. I mean, I'm sure if you're following a team more closely in that market, you know, there's been similar conversations, but at least with respect to the Giants, I've never gone into a season where all of the stories are JPP needs 20 sacks. It's amazing to me. I mean, I find it comical. Has anyone looked beyond JPP? Are there not other players on this defense that need to step up and make plays? JPP is going to make or break this defense? It's amazing to me. Eddie Goomba at Eddie Goomba, 17 to 20 points. I'm not sure we get past two field goals. Well, you know, here's the mix of a lot of people that are concerned about this offense. I think the Giants are better than two field goals tonight. Am I going to tell you that they're going to score 30 points? No. They're better than 6 points, okay? Let's not make this Lions defense out to be a shutdown group. They should be able to move the football against the Lions. But as I mentioned, that 18 to 25 barometer, I think, is a fair expectation for tonight. That's where I think you place the ceiling, 25. Can you win against the Lions with 25 points? Hey, if your defense comes to play and you're not letting Calvin Johnson run wild, I think this defense is good enough. You can win a game by scoring 25 points. You stay in the teens despite your defense being good, that's a toss-up. You get to 25, you're going to be in a position where you're comfortable. You stay in the teens, you're not going to be comfortable. Appreciate all the phone calls. Appreciate all the tweets this afternoon. A lot of good material that we threw your way as well as that you brought to the table. So Big Blue Kickoff Live, just to set the scene once again. It is at noon p.m. Eastern moving forward every weekday. Tomorrow we will unveil the video element to the show. So you'll be able to watch. You'll also be able to listen. But there will be a video element to the show, and we will get underway at noon Eastern. John Schmelk and I will recap the entire game tomorrow, and we'll continue to take your phone calls so you can at least pencil that in. In terms of tonight's coverage, the game kicks off at 7:10. It will be, obviously, an ESPN broadcast because it's Monday Night Football. However, those of you in the New York market, it will also be televised on ABC, the local affiliate, in case you don't have access to ESPN. In terms of our radio coverage, our pregame will start at 5:40 p.m. Eastern on WFAN, 660 a.m., as well as 101.9 FM in New York. You're also able to hear the entire pregame show here on Giants.com. So if you're not in the New York market, you can't get your radio, you can also hear it on Giants.com. And then Jeff Fiegels and I will have full post-game coverage following the contest on the radio, where we also will take phone calls as part of the segments that we throw your way on the postgame show. So a lot to look forward to in terms of the coverage tonight. Enjoy it. The start of the regular season. Giants, Lions in Motown, Monday Night Football. And we will break it all down for you after the game as well as tomorrow here on Giants.com at noon Eastern. Lance Meadows signing off. Enjoy the contest. We'll speak and see you tomorrow. Have a good one.